Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Thursday morning, I guess it is. Joe, we've reached that point. I'm losing track of the days.
You've,
I don't know what's
just
going
reached
on.
That now? Yeah. What month is it? The days are, I'm way beyond days, but thank you for saying it's Thursday.
You're welcome. I'm here to inform the people. That's my sole job.
I was thinking about this last night, sitting there last night. It was a week earlier that the SEC tournament had those two games.
Yeah.
Marquise and I were in the building, and if you told me that was 8 months ago, I would have believed it.
It really is crazy. I mean, this past week seems like it's taken forever. I mean, it was last Thursday when the NHL decided to suspend their season, and I feel like I haven't seen a hockey game in person in like 9 months.
Yeah, exactly. Like when we get sports again, I'm going to hug everyone for one thing. I'm going to totally
you
do
will
the
violate
opposite
the 6 foot rule.
I'm going to do the opposite of social distancing. Yeah. Yes.
But what's crazy was when we're at that tournament on Wednesday, we didn't pay any attention to the actual games itself because all this stuff was brewing. And it was like, it's hard to focus on Arkansas, Georgia, Vandy, and Ole Miss when all this stuff is going on. Yeah. So we didn't even pay attention to those. And then when I came in there at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, that's when everything changed.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we had Anthony Edwards out there. He's going to be very high.
He struggled.
He struggled, but I'm saying, top something pick. Mason Jones out there. I mean, Saban Lee was out there getting 30. You know, there were some things. We just didn't appreciate it, you know?
Like we should have.
No, we should have appreciated every single basket.
We would have all appreciated an 11-14 matchup now.
A last basketball game was Georgia versus Ole Miss.
That part is pretty depressing.
That is amazing. That is my national championship game.
Georgia,
college basketball.
Ole Miss, baby. That just gets the blood pumping. Well, Joe, there was a big trade yesterday, like right after we got off the air here on Morning Drive. Jarrell Casey sent to the Denver Broncos for a 7th-round pick. And I'll be honest with you, I was very surprised when I saw that trade. I think every Titans fan is hoping and praying that means something else is coming down the pipe here from John Robinson and the Titans. But what was just your general reaction when you saw that Jarrell Casey was going to be on the move and heading to Denver?
Yeah, well, the first reaction is, whoa. And then, you know, you think about it and, you quickly realize, I mean, it's a salary dump. There's no doubt about that. I think that you start to look at all the guys leaving this locker room and you say, man, I mean, the locker room is changing dramatically and you're losing a lot of guys who hold a lot of sway in that locker room. That's one thing, you know, beyond production on the field, that there's no question, you know, that's changing a lot. And I think that room was a big part of their success the last few years. I also get it, but it's hard to evaluate it until you see the other foot come down, you know, because I can't imagine. Now, look, this could be just clearing room, and they want to keep Logan Ryan, and they're still, you know, they're negotiating with Derrick Henry, but they don't have another big move. But yeah, I think when you see something like that, when you see a guy the quality of Jarrell Casey going for a 7th-round pick, you think, okay, what's the big move to correspond with that? And look, Casey was set to make 13 plus the next 3 years. He did. Again, it's always this like overstating of things. You know, like our friend Tron Davenport's on there, like people talking about Jarrell Casey washed up. No way. And no, of course he's not washed up. He's still a very valuable player, a good player. I did think that last year he was not as dominant as he has been. And, you know, whatever you think of Pro Football Focus, I try not to give Pro Football Focus too much credit.
Right.
Because I think there's limitations to what they can do if they don't know exactly what, you know, a system is supposed to do. And, you know, they're watching film without being in the film room with the coaches. But still, there's some obvious things if you analyze every snap that, you know, he went down. And just your own eyeball test, this is a guy who I think was more disruptive and commanded more attention in previous years. So that shouldn't be a huge surprise. 30 years old, he's been in the league a long time. Seventh round pick is where people are going to be like, man.
Yeah.
But well, it's the salary dump.
That's what it is. And you know, a lot of people yesterday were freaking out about the seventh round pick. But the other part of this is Denver took on, I guess reportedly, the whole salary. So unless, you know, you're trying to trade Jarrell Casey for, you know, a third round pick or something like that, at that point, if you're Denver, you're not going to take on the whole salary. So I think that's a big part of it. It reminded me a little bit of PK Subban this past year with the Predators, where they essentially traded him for what at the time didn't seem like a whole lot. Now they did get a guy named Igor Afanasyev out of that, who I think is going to be really, really good. But that's beside the point. They traded P.K. Subban for, at the time, on paper, you look at it and you're like, really? That's all you could get for P.K. Subban? But it was a salary dump, and New Jersey took on the entire contract and took on the whole salary. I think this was very similar with Jarrell Casey going to Denver. That's the way I looked at it anyway.
Yeah, and we'll have my athletic colleague John Glennon on later. And he, you know, I mean, his headline's exactly what came to mind, too, when this happened, you know. Of all the things going through the mind, I was like, man, that's a Patriots move right there. You know, it's getting ahead of the curve. And as Glennon called it, a Belichickian, his Robinson's most Belichickian move yet. And it is. It's a lot of guys, very popular guys in their – and really guys even more like in their prime in New England that they've let go. Keep going. Right, we're going to keep bringing on cheap contracts and keep the absolute core – And we'll let other people sign our guys to big free agent deals. You know, Titans, you can take Malcolm Butler and Logan Ryan and Deion Lewis, for example. and it's worked pretty well for Bill Belichick. It works well if Tom Brady's your quarterback too.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, you don't want to be in a situation where you can't unload this. If you think he's going in that direction, a year from now, you may not even be able to do this because someone doesn't want to take on, you know, whatever it is, $28 million, 13.9, 13.9, and 21 and 22.
Yeah.
You know, so also, there's on March 22nd, $5.45 million was due to Casey. So you got out of that before you had to pay that. I mean, it's a business. Let's not forget.
It is, and a lot of people yesterday after that move was made have connected the dots and tried to link the Titans to Jadeveon Clowney, who also, it was reported yesterday, is asking for somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 million per season, which to me is just insane.
No.
I wouldn't come anywhere close to that. And it got me thinking, like, I think everybody, just on name recognition, they know Jadeveon Clowney. They just associate him as being a great player, and I think he's a really, really good player. The pass rush part of it leaves me kind of mystified a little bit because he's a great player against the run. I don't think he's quite developed into the level of pass rusher that most people expected when he came out of South Carolina. Just my thoughts on it, and if that's the case, I mean, I think he had 3 sacks last year or something like that, and it's not all about sacks. I get it. It's about being disruptive, taking the offense and the quarterback specifically off schedule, and I get that. But there is something to be said about the sack number as well, and like 3 sacks from Jadeveon Clowney. Do you want to pay that much money to bring somebody like that in when you're trying to specifically address the pass rush? I think I'd be very wary of that if I were the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, his career high is 9.5 sacks, which was actually the year that His career high, 9.5 sacks, 59 tackles, QB hits, 21. All that stuff, career highs were the 1 year that he had Mike Vrabel as his DC in Houston. But, you know, then he had 9 sacks the next year. Yeah, like you said, 3. I mean, he's never been a big sack guy. As you said, there is more to it. And certainly, he's a force. I mean, Clowney is one of the, I'd say, one of the most freakish defensive players, you know, certainly in college football.
I still think about that hit against Michigan all the time. Like, that may be the hardest single hit in a football game I've ever seen.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, there's no question he's a specimen. He's still young. He's only 27. He's a really good player. And I know that, you know, one thing that Vrabel did was, you know, put him in different spots and things like that. And you can do that with him. But $20 million, I don't see it, man. I mean, that's a big overspend to me. Like, if you gave me the choice between having Casey at 13 or Clowney at 20, I think I'm going to go with Casey at 13 this year for this year. So I don't know if, you know, we'll see if the market is as robust as he hoped, and if that number comes down.
So let's just say, for the sake of argument, they're not able to sign another free agent, and maybe they try to address, you know, the pass rush in the draft at that point. You look at what they've done. Casey's gone. You still have Harold Landry. You've signed Vic Beasley, maybe adding in a somebody in the draft as well. Are you comfortable with that line heading into the season? I mean, some of that's going to depend on who you draft, I know. But are you comfortable with Vic Beasley coming in here and being kind of the big move that you add?
Yeah, I wouldn't. No. No, I don't think so. You've got to do something else. I mean, they don't even have really numbers on that line. Austin Johnson also, by the way, is a free agent. You know, Daquan Jones is a guy who is underrated. You know, he's a good player. And obviously, I think this is – even whether they get Clowney or somebody else or whatever they do, I think, you know, you also have to look at this, and we'll talk about this more, you know, as a comment on what they think Jeffrey Simmons is. But I also thought Casey was a really good mentor for Simmons, and I thought that the two of them with Simmons totally healthy could be a heck of a tandem. So, no, I don't think so. Vic Beasley, man.
He just doesn't do it for me. I think
young and athletic, but yeah, I mean a lot to prove there. A lot. He has not been much of a player since 2016.
He hasn't, and everybody, the conversation has been the last day or so since they've made this move. Well, he's on a 1 year prove it contract. Well, so what? He was on a contract year last year. He didn't prove anything. That doesn't speak highly to me that he's just going to come here and figure it out. Now look. He has been in Atlanta his whole career. Maybe sometimes it is just as simple as a change of scenery. Case in point, Ryan Tannehill, what they did last year. But I think that's a big risk, not necessarily from a contractual standpoint, because it's 1 year, you can get out of it after that. But if that's your big piece, I think that's an awfully big risk to take if you're trying to truly address the pass rushing situation.
I agree. So I don't think that's it. I mean, we'll see where they go. But I would not feel I think you've diminished yourself overall if you're looking at it right now from last year to this year. And we still don't know about Logan Ryan.
Yeah.
And again, I think Malcolm Butler was playing well last year. I like him as a player. I think you saw the value of Adoree Jackson late in the year when he came back. He's a good player. Now, I think he could be better than a good player, but he's a good player. And he's the one guy you have there that you feel like he can run with most guys. But if you don't help those guys more up front than you did last year, then I don't see how you're going to be much better than, you know, above average on defense. And I think you got, you know, you're trying to be better than that. You're trying to be great. So you got you spend every dime, first of all. I mean, right now you're in a situation of figure out how to put together the best possible group right now. And so I think that means there's got to be another move. Again, like with Subban, that's a good comparison.
Yeah.
And we all knew, you didn't know it was going to happen until it happened.
Right.
But you knew what the second part of that was going to be. This one, I feel like Clowney makes a lot of sense, but man, that number has got to make sense too.
When we come back, now that Jarrell Casey is gone, are we fully comfortable that Jeffrey Simmons can step in and fill that void completely? That we'll talk about that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. Joe, Munson just brought up something great, and we'll get to it later in the show, but if you all missed Coach O yesterday, head coach of LSU, just addressing the general public in Louisiana, it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I love Coach O so much. Like, I'm considering just full-time moving to Louisiana and following whatever he does.
We need to get Coach O in front of some spring break college kids.
Yeah.
You know, just scare the bejesus out of them.
Yeah. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he did that yesterday from his hot tub at his house. He was kind of addressing the spring break kids, don't go potty. Stay home. I was like, all right. Thanks, Arnold. Appreciate
it. Like, can we use your house?
He started the video off by, here, I'm taking a jacuzzi. I'm like, all right, what is taking a jacuzzi? That cool. Cool, Arnold. We appreciate it.
Big cigar.
Yeah, it was nice. Joe, we were talking about the Jarrell Casey trade in the last segment, now gone to Denver, and that's going to put a lot of responsibility on Jeffrey Simmons, who was their first-round pick, of course, last year, came in, I think probably earlier than most people expected him to come back and to be able to play, was very impactful right from the start. Do we trust that he can take that next step and be able to completely fill the void in the defensive line for Casey now being gone? And I think, you know, one part that maybe we've overlooked and haven't talked about enough this offseason is he's completely healthy and he is having a full offseason to train. He's gotten some NFL experience now. You know, just from a raw talent standpoint, he was very physically gifted. If he wasn't hurt, he would have gone a lot higher in the draft than he did. I have high hopes from Jeffrey Simmons heading into next season. What exactly that means in terms of a production standpoint, I don't know. But I think he could be a special player here for years to come.
No, I do too. I mean, look, you saw it early when he got on the field in the Chargers game. You know, it was him just destroying his guy that led to the, you know, the play that led to the fumble that Wesley Woodyard recovered. And he had other plays like that where he just was just dominant. Now, was it all the time? No, but he played a lot more snaps than I would have guessed. And he played, like you said, he played earlier. So, I mean, those are all good signs. Does that mean he's ready to step in 2020 and, you know, just be, you know, one of the best D linemen in the game? I mean, you trade away Casey, and now, you know, you're trading away help and protection for him too. So you're making it harder on him, without seeing exactly what the whole group's going to look like. So I think Jeffrey Simmons has the potential to be a great player in the NFL. Absolutely. Got to stay healthy, got to keep developing, but most of what we saw last year was pretty promising on that front. Again, though, I think Casey was definitely a guy. I know he was a guy.
Yeah.
He looked to, talked to, leaned on.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? And also, it was nice to be next to him, you know, when that was possible out there. So, like, they've got to give him more help now.
Yeah, they do. And I think when you look at Simmons from just a physical standpoint, there were instances last year, and you mentioned one already, against the Chargers, where you just look at the tape, and he is blowing up the line of scrimmage on the interior. And look, we talked about, you know, maybe not having the edge rushers if you're the Titans. Harold Landry had a decent season, but you need more from that, more consistent production from your edge rushers. Jeffrey Simmons, I think, as he continues to progress here, he's going to garner a lot of attention from offensive line. Probably at some point it's going to have to be double teamed. And maybe if you're Harold Landry at that point, if you're Vic Beasley coming in, if he could get to that level this year, that should be able to help you out on the edge at that point. But I agree. I do think there's some help
the Titans are going to need some additional help to give him there at that spot, because that's a whole lot to ask from a guy who's played in, like, you know, 11 total games.
Yeah, and again, maybe now you look at the draft. I mean, again, when it's impossible now to try to guess the draft until we see everything they do, but now you start looking at, okay, are there some D linemen that they might look to as their first round pick in the draft? And maybe that's the play, is to try to, bring in another, young player that they really like up front to pair with Simmons. You've gotten very young in that case, but at least you've got more help for him. I mean, they've got a small group right now in that D line, and including, some undrafted guys who are just kind of depth guys.
I think the obvious answer to the question I'm going to ask you here is probably incomplete, because there's still a lot left to be done, including the draft, but even in free agency. But how would you evaluate what John Robinson has done thus far? You've signed Tannehill to a long-term deal, the franchise tag placed on Derrick Henry. You've brought in Vic Beasley. Now, yesterday, you have shipped off Jarrell Casey to Denver. Still waiting to see what maybe some corresponding moves are. But I guess, how surprising are you that, Henry's been tagged, Casey is gone, Vic Beasley is the guy so far that Robinson has brought in? We've talked a lot about, potentially what the Titans were going to do in the offseason. I'm not quite sure this is the route I saw things going so far.
Well, no, I mean, I did not anticipate Casey. So that's the big surprise of everything, of course. I think the Tannehill-Henry outcome, I really like the Tannehill deal. I will continue to say, I think Derrick Henry, you're better off signing him longer term than that. But, I also understand it, and we'll see what happens there. Beasley's the one that I don't really see it. And maybe he will prove everyone wrong. Maybe you're right. Maybe change the scenery. I think he has ability, but like you said, it was a contract year last year. I mean, he ended up with 8 sacks. He got a few late in the season.
Yeah, but I think people are going to look at that and just be like, he had 8 sacks last year. Well, not great. It's not an awful year. You talk to people down in Atlanta, like, he kind of just got those at the end of the year. There's a lot of sack chasing going on, and people, quite frankly, from what I hear coming out of Atlanta, his work ethic is a big thing that's been in question. And that's not going to fly here. Like, Mike Vrabel is not going to put up with that. So I'm very interested to see how that part of it goes with Vic Beasley as well.
And I think Beasley is an example of, when you bring in players, you're also asking, okay, where are we strong? Like, where can we make up some ground? And I think you may see more of this as the years go on, is that, Mike Vrabel really loves working with front seven guys. That's his thing, and it's working with using their hands. And of course, he's not the only, he has position coaches too, but Vrabel in particular, that's his baby. So here's an example maybe of someone that a lot of people were down on, and Vrabel says, I can bring him here. He's got so much talent. We can turn things around for him. So we'll see if they can. And maybe that's a strong point of the coaching staff, that you can take some more risks like that. But right now, I don't like that move. So, I mean, if you look at the whole thing, yeah, it's incomplete right now. The Casey thing is stunning, and I still think from a locker room perspective, it's part of a big turnover in that way, and something that they've said over and over again is very important, and I know it's very important to the success of this team. I still get it, though. I do. I mean, he's not at his age, with all the miles he's logged in this league, it was going in the direction that it's going to go at some point. And with that salary, I get it. Now, what's next?
Yeah, I think that's the question we're all trying to figure out. What's next for the Titans? And, hey, maybe we'll find out today. You never know.
That'd be great.
Maybe during the show. That's the wild world of NFL free agency. When we come back, we'll get Joe's reaction to what we talked about yesterday to close out the show, and that is the Bill O'Brien / DeAndre Hopkins situation going on in Houston. Now that he's been sent off to Arizona, Michael Irvin yesterday came out with some strong comments. We'll get Joe's reaction to that next. This is Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic, taking you through a Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, yesterday we had Adam Vingan on the show, and we were just kind of going through the show, and all of a sudden some comments from Michael Irvin on Get Up yesterday on ESPN came out about Michael Irvin's conversation that he had with DeAndre Hopkins regarding Bill O'Brien. And obviously we all know, we've talked about it all week, the trade that sent DeAndre Hopkins from the Houston Texans to the Arizona Cardinals. A lot of people, mostly everybody, have met that with, what in the world are the Houston Texans doing? This could be one of the worst trades in NFL history. And Joe, even you and I the other day, we talked about, like, is there something that we're missing here? Because it's just, it's one of those trades that's so lopsided and so stupid on the surface that you almost think there has to be something else going on underneath it all that we just don't know about. Well, yesterday, Michael Irvin was on Get Up and shared some comments that allegedly he had with DeAndre Hopkins in a conversation. Here's what Michael Irvin had to say.
I got on the phone with him right after I heard about this trade, and I tried to pull it out of him, like, what happened? What happened here, man? There's no way they give away one of the best receivers in the NFL for a ham sandwich like they did. And he kept the high road on it. He said, Michael, you know, I'm just happy about where I'm going, and that's it. He left it there. But, of course, you know, I couldn't rest my mind on it. I called him again 24 hours later, like late yesterday, and then he was willing to talk more. And I said, tell me what happened in Houston. And he went into it. He told me, he said, Michael, it was a bit of a power struggle there because Coach O'Brien thought he had too much influence over the locker room. He called DeAndre Hopkins in a meeting to talk about this and to kind of, I guess, hash it out. In that meeting, he started the meeting with telling DeAndre Hopkins this that blew my mind when DeAndre told me this. He told DeAndre Hopkins, the last time I had to have a meeting like this, it was with Aaron Hernandez. I was like, what? He put in Aaron Hernandez in this meeting? He said, yes, he did. He said, Michael, that blew my mind that he would even bring that up. I've never been in any trouble. I don't know why would he equate me with Aaron Hernandez. And from there, the meeting just deteriorated. You know, he got into talking about DeAndre Hopkins because DeAndre Hopkins has a few kids and from different women. And he said, you know, he told DeAndre he doesn't like that he has his baby mamas around sometimes. And from that, I think the relationship just went bad. And thus, we got a trade of DeAndre Hopkins from Houston for basically, like I said earlier, a ham sandwich, all because of that relationship.
So obviously, those are some pretty inflammatory things that Michael Irvin is talking about there from his conversation with DeAndre Hopkins. Joe, number one, what's your reaction to that? And number two, let's just say for the sake of this argument that that is the case, and Bill O'Brien did say all of these things that Michael Irvin has said that DeAndre Hopkins told him he said. I mean, at that point, like, don't you have to, like, fire him if you're the Houston Texans, if that's the reason your best player gets traded at that point? It's just a whole lot of things swirling about here from Michael Irvin's comments yesterday.
Well, I think, I don't know about the whole firing of this is, first of all, I mean, Michael Irvin, it's got to be really annoying to have Michael Irvin, like, call you day after day, you know?
Yes.
And it's like,
like, dude, I just talked to you yesterday.
All right, Michael, let me tell you, and it's like a game of telephone. I still don't totally understand. I don't totally understand what he's saying here. I understand the thing about, you know, the mothers of his children, which is bizarre. And, yeah. And if that's true, what a terrible thing to say. I don't understand what he means by last time I had a meeting like this, it was with Aaron Hernandez. I don't really. So it's because he had so much influence over the locker room? That's the comparison? I mean,
it's weird.
It's weird. It's a weird game of telephone here with Michael Irvin. And then Hopkins tweets later, you know, to really downplay it. This is being blown way out of proportion. As I've said before, I enjoyed and proud of my time with the Texans. I have the utmost respect for Coach O'Brien. That will not change. Now I'm ready to play for the Cardinals. Now, he didn't deny anything that Michael Irvin said, so you can take from that what you will, but of course, he did tweet that it's being blown out of proportion. Bottom line is, Bill O'Brien, this is, no matter what exactly happened here, Bill O'Brien clearly bungled something here, you know? So, I mean, Bill O'Brien being fired, I think that's probably just going to be the result of all these bad moves yeah. that eventually turn them into a bad football team. And certainly, though, I mean, he is moving quickly up the list of, you know, NFL figures easiest to lampoon right now. Because now, one thing Michael Irvin didn't discuss, and has to be part of this, is, you know, Hopkins' deal. If Hopkins wanted to renegotiate his deal,
yeah.
which there's been a lot of reports about that, you know, then I understand that aspect of it and why that would make you want to shop him around. But it's just, you know, what you ended up getting for him is ridiculous. So the bottom line is Bill O'Brien looks bad in this. Also, DeAndre Hopkins takes the high road. Also, I'm skeptical of a lot of things Michael Irvin says.
Yeah, I'm skeptical of a lot of things Michael Irvin says, too. I do wonder, though, like, you know, we hear Hopkins talk about the respect he has for Bill O'Brien. Deshaun Watson, multiple times in the last couple of years, has publicly come out in support of Bill O'Brien. But the more this goes on, you know, you get Clowney last year, you lose him. I mean, you didn't get, I think, full value for Clowney either. Now you've lost DeAndre Hopkins in a trade where pretty much everyone is left scratching their head about the return that you get back for him. Like, at some point, if this continues to happen, don't you lose that locker room in Houston if you're Bill O'Brien? Like, if you're Deshaun Watson right now, you've got to be furious that this has taken place and you've lost your best weapon on offense. And if you lose him, I mean, that's the future of that franchise. And then you're going to lose that locker room along with losing that quarterback.
Yeah, it's one of those interesting things where you could have a good relationship with him, respect him as a coach, and day-to-day, that could be good, but you hate him as the GM.
Like, yeah.
You hate GM O'Brien. Eventually, it's like, well, it's the same guy. I mean, there's no way Deshaun Watson could possibly be okay with this, right? There's no way. I mean, you are taking away one of the best weapons in the game, and the guy, he knows he can just throw it up to, if need be, go make a play for me. He can't possibly be all right with this. And again, I'm sure he's like people here on Jarrell Casey, different deal. But, I mean, it's like, you know, okay, what's the other – hopefully it's not just Randall Cobb. But, no, it's – he's – I think he's already lost the city of Houston.
Oh, yeah.
He's lost the NFL. Now this weird thing comes out about Hopkins, just weird. Again, like the I don't think you can discuss this whole thing without the contract thing. DeAndre Hopkins, which I understand, if he wanted to renegotiate and get paid like he should be paid.
But, we saw Julio Jones do that.
Julio Jones, and I believe he had three on it too, yeah. right? He had 3 years on it too when he did that. So you always, like, you have to keep that in mind. But again, like, if you're Deshaun Watson, at least I'd be like, but this is what you got? Like, you know, it's the same reaction anybody has. Of all the possibilities out there, if you are going to shop DeAndre Hopkins, this is what you got. So, Bill
O'Brien.
Especially
the same day Minnesota got from Buffalo for Stephon Diggs,
right.
What they got.
Yeah, exactly. Just a bundle of picks, you know, and that's something Houston needs. So, Bill O'Brien right now is the. Probably the most mocked guy in the NFL at this point, right? And at some point, you figure if he keeps GMing this bad, he's not going to be able to coach his way out of it.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think so. And, I mean, this is just another example. We talked about it right after it happened of the division kind of getting weaker. I mean, other than Indy, I mean, Jacksonville, we don't feel like it's going to be a factor. By the way, they've traded Nick Foles now, so – who knows who their quarterback's going to be next year? I guess
Minshew,
it's Gardner Minshew.
Baby.
Yeah, I guess you're rolling with that. Maybe they go sign Cam Newton or Jameis, somebody like that. But you don't really feel like they're going to be a factor. Houston, you feel a whole lot better about if you're a Titans fan in terms of your ability to compete with them and maybe beat them in the division. Indy signs Phillip Rivers, and you're just like, okay, I mean, I guess that's an upgrade on Jacoby Brissett, but not a huge one. So I think if you're the Titans – even though it's been a kind of an interesting start to the week of free agency for the Titans, I think you feel pretty good about your chances right now of winning the AFC South just based off what everybody else has done at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you still have to deal with Watson, but, man, there's no question that when you think about that matchup, not having to deal with Hopkins, I mean, how could you not feel better about it? Yeah, Indy, I like DeForest Buckner, certainly. I like what that will do for their defense.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Phillip Rivers, I don't know. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. I mean, the funny thing is he ended up throwing for like 320 here last year because he got hot late. I thought for a lot of that game, I was like, oh, this guy. But he made some big-time throws late. He did, and he can still wing it around in that Uncle Rico kind of way. So maybe I'm underselling him, and they can make a big run with him. But to me, that just seems like a stopgap, and I assume they're going to draft someone. So, yeah, the Titans, to me, right now, although, Casey, you've weakened yourself.
Yeah.
No matter what you think about what you've done with the salary, you've weakened yourself. I still think the Titans are the favorite right now.
Yeah, and that's amazing to think about, which at the moment, like you said, Casey's gone, Jack Conklin is gone, and even still, you look around the division and you're like, yeah, I mean, we feel pretty good about our chances if we're a Titans fan now. So going to be interesting to follow what the Titans do next. What does the departure of Jarrell Casey mean? Are they going to bring in somebody else sometime this week in free agency? Going to be interesting to monitor that, maybe even today. We'll see. When we come back, we mentioned Jacksonville trading away Nick Foles to the Chicago Bears. Are they planning on drafting a quarterback? Are they going to sign another one? Are they just going to roll the dice with Gardner Minshew? We'll get into that next. Also, what does that mean for Mitch Trubisky in Chicago? All of that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. And Joe, Nick Foles is on the move again, baby. Headed to the Chicago Bears, back in that kind of prime Nick Foles spot where he's the backup, but kind of not really the backup. He could sneak in there and take over at any time. That's what he did in Philly. Obviously won a Super Bowl doing that. Went to Jacksonville, signed the big deal, and they have traded him to Chicago after 1 year in Jacksonville, where most of the time he was hurt last year. So, not obviously didn't work out the way the Jaguars wanted it to work out. What do we make of this move by the Bears to bring in Nick Foles? Is that kind of the pressure that Mitch Trubisky needs there? Because part of this conversation to me goes back to Marcus Mariota. Because I have to think, you know, looking at the Raiders situation, and obviously we don't know what the Raiders have said to Mariota. We don't even know what his deal looks like specifically in terms of dollar amount and terms. But it just seems from the outside looking in that if you're Marcus Mariota and you're looking around at maybe some spots in the NFL that give you a great chance to be a starting quarterback again this season at some point, Chicago had to be, if not at the top of that list, really close to the top of that list. And that just makes me think, like, did Chicago just say, no thanks, Marcus, we don't have any interest? Did he just want to be somewhere out west? Like, what was exactly the process going on there? Because I think if you're Mariota, Chicago would have been the perfect place. And now that Nick Foles is there, like, I feel better about Mariota than I do Nick Foles, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. I think Chicago's the ideal place right now for anyone in that position because you feel like you're going to get a chance at some point. I mean, Trubisky is just, you know, they think the Bears still are publicly sticking with Trubisky. Yeah, I mean, look, Ryan Pace, I mean, his tenure is, it's in jeopardy anyway because I don't see how this ends well. But if you're him, you kind of have to go as far as you can go on this because, I mean, you moved up. You will always be known as a guy who moved up to draft Mitch Trubisky and let Watson and Mahomes go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
tough.
That's always going to be.
That is tough.
You're a GM in this league, and, you know.
That's a classic example of, like, sometimes these guys just overthink it. Like, you had Deshaun Watson there, and I'm not even going to blame him for Patrick Mahomes because I don't think anybody saw this coming from Patrick Mahomes. But you have Deshaun Watson there, who's, you know, taken Clemson, won national championships, gone to national championships, probably has been the best player in college football for like 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And you're like, you know what?
I'm going to take the kid from North Carolina.
Yeah, really that's like the way that. We're gonna go. Look at that way that kid throws the ball. Yeah, you know, watch football, watch college football. Who do you want? It doesn't always work out that way. There guys can go win a national championship and look really good and not work out in the NFL. But in that situation, man, it is easy to go back and say. And I agree, Mahomes. Obviously, Mahomes is the number one pick. And it's not even a question if anybody had a clue that he's this. But Watson, man, all you had to do is watch some college football and have a pretty good idea. But anyway, they are publicly supporting Trubisky. I guess I would suspect that maybe they just didn't have a lot of interest in Mariota. But I'm with you. I'd rather have Mariota than Nick Foles. I know Nick Foles has done some incredible work in that save the day backup role, and maybe he'll do it again in Chicago. But coming in as Jacksonville starter, and of course he was hurt, but still he wasn't good when he played.
No.
0-4 as a starter.
Yeah.
So they're going with Minshew for now. I think with Mariota, definitely, I think location had to be a big thing. It makes sense. You know, his support system is close to him out there. He's a West Coast guy. Well, he's a Hawaii guy, but he's a West Coast guy, Oregon guy. That all makes sense. And one thing about this whole process is usually in free agency, you know, the top guys go, and then it just sort of you go down the line. I mean, we haven't seen any of these guys we know who are going to be backups. We haven't seen them signed yet because it's not their turn yet, right? So the fact that the Raiders signed him so early, I'm very interested to see the terms, for one thing, what they paid him. But it does kind of read like they're bringing him in to compete. And maybe that was the conversation. Maybe the conversation was, hey, this is in our mind, it's an open book. Come out here and see what we can do. You know, we don't view this as like we're just bringing you in to be a backup. So the timing of his signing is sort of maybe a promising thing for Mariota. But I agree. I mean, Trubisky, you want to back up Trubisky right now in this league. If you want a chance to start again, because Mitch Trubisky, you know, he's bottom of the league among starters in just about any kind of measure that you want to give. He's not good.
No, he's not. And the other side of this is Jacksonville, and that has a direct impact on the Titans as well. Gardner Minshew, I guess, is going to be the guy for the time being. Do we see maybe any way that one of these guys like Cam Newton, like Jameis Winston, maybe they end up in Jacksonville? Or do you think, you know, drafting another quarterback and riding with Minshew for now is the way to go if you're the Jaguars?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a total blow-it-up thing with them.
It does.
So, I mean, the question in the NFL is, like, if you're the Jaguars, who have had some really talented teams recently and had one team that made a run, I mean, you're struggling to get people to come to your games. Like, are you comfortable doing the full blow-up and we're going young? And, yeah, they'll draft someone and see if Minshew can develop and see if they can bring someone in young and develop and all that and be comfortable going 3-13? Or do you still feel the urge, like, we got to have try to bring in a guy in Pam and who knows? Maybe Jameis can come here and just the LASIK works and he's got a lot of ability. And they've got some nice weapons too, by the way, on the outside. I don't know. I'm really interested to see where it goes for it. I mean, what's New England doing at quarterback?
Yeah.
You know,
the indications right now is, I mean, we had Karen Garigian on yesterday from the Boston Herald. I think there's a real chance Jared Stidham's going to be the guy, which is amazing to me. But that's the way that's the conversation up there right now in New England is, yeah, you know, Jared Stidham, he's going to be the guy.
Why wouldn't they go get a quarterback, though, I guess, would be my question.
I think they really like Stidham. I really do. Now, you know, obviously you're just saying that right now because there's no guarantee you can go get somebody. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't think Bill Belichick has much interest in Cam Newton. I don't think he's got much interest in Jameis Winston. So obviously if you're going to make a trade for like Andy Dalton or somebody like that, that's not really something you could talk about at the moment. Because right now he's on Cincinnati. So you can't just go say, oh, yeah, I mean, we're leaving the competition open for Andy Dalton on to Cincinnati. But from all accounts, and Karen was talking about it, I think there's at least a pretty good chance that Jared Stidham's the guy, which is amazing to me.
Man. I'll believe that when I see it, I think.
If Belichick goes 10-6 with Stidham, go.
Oh, man.
All the way. In your face, Brady. What if Stidham, you know, quarterbacks the Patriots a better season than the Bucks have? Oh, man. I've just.
We laugh at that, but, like, do we think that has any impact whatsoever on, like, Brady's legacy? Like, if he goes out next year and, you know, they're okay, they're like 7-9, 8-8, whatever, just missed the playoffs. And the Patriots go like 10-6 or 11-5 with Jared Stidham. Like at that point, if you're Tom Brady, you're like, crap. This is the exact opposite effect of what I wanted to do, which was go somewhere else, prove that I'm the guy, and prove that I probably haven't gotten the credit, at least from an internal perspective with New England, that I probably have deserved. And it just goes the complete opposite way. Like,
maybe, but
it's a crazy conversation, I think, because he's got 6 Super Bowls, and it seems like his, if anybody's legacy should ever be secure, it's his. But people are going to bring that up in terms of Brady versus Belichick, who deserves more credit, who actually was behind all of their success.
Well, especially if the Patriots have a great year with Stidham.
Yes.
That's the, you know, that's the more unlikely thing of the two. But to me, it won't change anything because he's going to be 43 this year. You know, I mean, that's why I didn't think the Titans should have gone there. And look, like Jordan – we've made the comparison to Jordan going to the Wizards. What is Jordan's legacy? When people talk about Michael Jordan's legacy, how much do they talk about the Wizards?
I mean, zero.
It's how it ended. So if that's how it ends for Brady, that's how it ends. He will continue to be one of the best quarterbacks ever.
You just keep
but maybe
digging. He's keep digging.
Well, I will say that maybe if things do end in the Jordan Wizards way, at least we can get rid of, like, there's no question he's the GOAT stuff, because right now I think too many people cling
what if he
to
wins
that.
What if he wins the Super Bowl this year in
then
Tampa?
I'm giving him pure GOAT.
Pure
then,
GOAT.
Then he
goes to Tampa, wins it.
He is the
like,
GOAT.
It.
He's the GOAT of GOATs.
I'm rooting for it. I want it to happen so bad.
Yeah, you know, it'd be fun. I'm rooting for football to be played at the at the scheduled time, and whatever happens there, we'll all embrace it.
Yes, that will be step one. At that point, it is interesting though to look at Jacksonville and look. You even talk about this all the time, like the window in the NFL. You really can never think more than like maybe 2 years away at the max, just because everything changes so quickly. In the NFL, it has been amazing to watch just the total destruction that has taken place in Jacksonville since they made that AFC Championship game. Because you looked at the talent and you thought, okay, this is one of the more talented teams in the NFL. They just have Blake Bortles as their quarterback. If they could get that figured out, they're going to be really good for a long time. And now, I mean, they might be 3-13, 4-12, 2-14 next year.
Yeah.
They're going to be really bad.
Well, and they are, I think, a prime example of there's talent, but you also have to think about personalities and how people fit together. And, yeah, quarterback for sure. I mean, there's no doubt about that. They never figured that out. But I think also that, I mean, they had a bad locker room. And so, you know, that's where I think the Titans have been very different from Jacksonville in the last few years. They've been very, very conscious of that. And that's why it's interesting right now, all the moves. They still have some great personalities in that locker room, but they definitely lost a lot. I mean, I'm assuming Wesley Woodyard moves on. He was certainly one of those pillars of the locker room, along with Walker, along with Casey, along with Mariota. And so, you know, that's something that now you've got guys who have to take on more of that. And that's more important than some people think. It really is. But as we are seeing, like with the Casey move, bottom line, there's a salary cap. Yeah. Here's the numbers, and you got to make that work.
When we come back, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver is getting into it with the mayor of New York City. We'll talk about that next. Who do we agree with when it comes to this coronavirus stuff? That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by Rumblon.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.